This is Lifestyle Indy with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Thanks for tuning in today. I think you're going to find our show very, very intriguing, and you're going to get a lot from it. Our guest is Amanda Augustine. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie.
Amanda is a career advice expert for Top Resume. She's also a certified professional career coach and a certified professional resume writer. I did not know there was such a thing, but it certainly makes sense, right?
It does indeed. I mean, I wouldn't do my own taxes. I wouldn't write my own will. And I frankly wouldn't write my own resume.
Oh, my goodness.
I outsource that.
Yeah, that's wild. So, you know, you think about people in the 50 plus age range, and we've got people that are obviously younger listening to the show. This applies to anybody doing a resume. And things have changed over the years as far as resume writing. It's not the same, is it?
No, not at all. You know, when you consider all the technology that's come into play, writing a resume for today's job market has become part art and part science. You have to write it with the hiring manager in mind, and it's more of a marketing document now. It's part of your personal advertising campaign. But at the same time, you're also engineering this document to get past the bots, we call them, this piece of software known as the applicant tracking system, which is really designed to scan and eliminate as many applications as possible.
Which, oh my gosh, if you can't get in front of a person, that's, even if you're the greatest person in the world, that's it.
100%. You could be perfectly qualified for the job, but if the resume isn't crafted in a way that's going to get past that digital gatekeeper, it doesn't matter because no human being is ever going to see that application.
Wow, interesting. I know that you have come up with 13 tips to help older job seekers kind of age-proof their resume and land a job sooner. And I think we've got people that are listening that are very interested in that. So let's hop to it. What do you say?
Sounds great.
Are we going to go in backwards order or...
I think I'm going to start with number one, and if we have time, I even have a bonus one that put in the initial article that I think is really helpful.
Beautiful. Let's do this. And I learned some of this information online, but boy, our listeners haven't heard it yet. So let's go ahead and start.
Sure. Number one, focus on your recent experience. And I know when you have 20 plus years of experience, 30 plus years of experience, you want to put it all on there. But the reality is that the further along you are in your career, the less relevant that earlier experience becomes. Employers care most about what have you been doing most recently and how is that tied back or relevant to the role I'm trying to fill today. So really cut it off around the 15-year mark. Some people even go to 10,
I've
but
heard that
15
too,
is 10. The rule of thumb.
Okay. So anything before that, it's relevant, but you can put it on the resume in a different way. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. You're not suddenly going to have the first job, you know, appearing or the farthest back, you know, you're a VP or you're a director level. There's a couple ways you can address it. Depending, with every single resume rule, there's always an asterisk next to it where it's depends on your situation, right? So if you worked for a bunch of companies where they're really name drop worthy, you want to make sure that people in your industry know that you've been working for them or you've had those certain clients. You may decide to put a career note at the end that says additional experience includes work as a blah, blah, blah at this company servicing that client. Just a short blurb that summarizes the pieces of information that you really want them to know about. And then you always just put in that additional details available upon request.
Right. And then you can always talk about that once you get past the bots, right?
Exactly. You're not necessarily fooling anyone and saying, yes, I left college and became a director or VP or something along those lines. You want them to know you had the history, but frankly, you want them to focus on the most recent work because that's what they care about anyway.
Interesting. Number two.
Eliminate older dates. And this goes hand in hand with focusing on the more recent experience. So if you received your degree more than 15 years ago, if you received an important certification, you're not going to remove those from your resume. Nobody is going to assume you have a college degree just because you're at a certain level in your career. So make sure you always include that information,
okay. But
you don't necessarily need to put the dates in that are associated with that. Same thing with older work experience. If you're going to mention in a career note or even just list out the titles and the company names, you don't have to put the years associated with those.
Because I've heard it both ways, but most recently, don't put dates, like just at the end of like your experience. So the resumes are set up differently nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not chronological like it used to be back in the day.
Well, you know what? There's a few different structures out there. The most popular today and the one that recruiters seem to gravitate towards is what we call a hybrid or a combination resume format.
Hmm.
So what that means is you start out at the top with your name, your contact information. You put a professional or an executive title, something that explains very clearly and quickly, this is the type of role I'm pursuing today.
Okay.
You have a short little blurb that kind of sets the stage. Consider it your elevator pitch. We call it the professional summary or the career statement that highlights your best selling points.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps there's a section about your skills. Then it goes into the work experience. And that is still reverse chronological order. You start with the most recent and you work your way back.
Sure.
It's just you stop when you hit the 15-year mark.
Right.
You'll then just put a note. So anything beyond that 15-year mark, whether it's education or experience, if it makes it onto the resume, just get rid of the date.
Interesting. Okay. So now let's talk about the actual resume, paper in hand. Used to be a one sheet. I mean, what's the rule of thumb these days?
So it's so interesting, right? Because some people say, oh, you know, I have 6 pages worth. I'm like, great. Recruiters have zero attention to
them. No, six is bad. Six
there
pages.
Have been multiple studies done. There was one done just in 2018. There was another one done back in 2012.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is recruiters spend less than 10 seconds during their initial review of a resume. And while they may spend more time later if they think you're a good candidate, they're deciding in less than 10 seconds if you make it to that pile or if you're getting thrown out.
Wow.
Because frankly, they have a lot of applications and they are looking for reasons to make that pile smaller. So they're looking for reasons to eliminate people. And your job is to craft something that's not going to make it into that pile.
Got it.
So when it comes to that, 2 pages is typically the rule of thumb.
Okay.
You've heard in the past, a lot of people were then trying to truncate it to 1 page and they're so proud of that. And I go, you know, great for you. But what's interesting is there was a recent study done by a company called ResumeGo, and they found that employers prefer a 2-page resume.
Interesting.
And my theory on that is because they are looking for a bit more of a story as opposed to just a list of your work experience. They expect that kind of hybrid or combination resume format, which takes more of a marketing approach to your resume.
Okay.
Your resume is not just a laundry list of your experience anymore. It should be a carefully curated marketing document, and you position it as you need to sell your most relevant qualifications.
And it'll take a little while to craft this. You can't just... Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and you might need some help.
It takes some time. 100%. I mean, I've been a resume writer for many, many years now. I think back to my first resume and I cringe a lot. But you know what? It's such a personal document. It's very hard to detach and be objective. And that's why I think a professional who knows all these little rules that no one on earth should know unless they're in this industry can take that information, be objective, and craft the resume.
But
it really does come down to the job seeker gathering all of that information, because the resume is only as good as the information you can gather to provide to your writer.
And you made a good point. I go back to the, hey, who do you want to prepare your taxes? An accountant. You know, who do you want to do your resume? Somebody who knows what they're doing, especially in this day and age. So
exactly.
I'm going to stop numbering things and just talk about some of the other things that you want to get across. So, you know, one of the things that you talk about on the website is to avoid the jack of all trades approach. In other words, I think that kind of speaks to itself. Yeah. It's like, you know what that means. You're not everything. Come on. Focus.
You don't want to be a generalist. You want to, and this really comes down to customizing it for the job at hand. So perhaps I'm comboing a little here. You want your resume to be positioned toward a certain goal, not, hey, look, this is everything I could do. See where I could fit into your organization.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to show them how you fit into their organization for a specific role. So even if you held a very generalist role, think about everything you did with that job and the results you created or the value you helped contribute to, and identify the pieces that are most relevant based on what you're targeting today. That's the information you highlight. You do not have to list absolutely everything you've ever done. You don't even have to list every single job you've ever held.
Right.
You are allowed to curate the information.
I like that. You know, I've preached to my 3 children how important internships are. Do you believe internships are important?
The internship has become the entry-level job.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hands down. Most entry-level jobs require 1 to 3 to 5 years of experience. How in the world do you get that experience if it's an entry-level job? They expect that kids these days are taking on internships and co-ops or getting, you know, side gigs to demonstrate that what they've learned in school is being applied in a real life setting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very valuable, no matter what your age. So preach it to your kids and grandkids. Okay, so how important is an email address? I know you don't want to put, hey, from pinkflucy, you know, .com, you know what I mean, or whatever. And just, you know, some people have really silly email addresses. We should clean that up if we're looking for a job, right?
100%. I actually say create an email address that's specifically just for your job search, and then you don't have to worry about all the spam mail that's coming in. You don't have all these other things you're trying to keep track of. All the communication is just around your job search, so it makes it a lot easier. If you have a shared account with another family member, you don't want that for this opportunity. You really want one that has your first name and your last name. Perhaps it involves some part of what you do for a living. It's the same thing with customizing the URL on your LinkedIn profile. You want everything to brand you as professional and polished.
I love that.
And avoid the older platforms, because again, you're fighting against, you know, these preconceived notions that you may not necessarily be technically savvy. Don't give them a reason to think that's true. The older platforms, people assume, oh, well, you haven't kept up with technology. I know it's an email address, but they're looking for reasons to doubt your candidacy.
Okay, we're talking to Amanda Augustine. She is with Top Resume. She knows what she's talking about. And we're about halfway through the list, actually. So should you list your mobile phone number on your resume? We'll find out with Laura. Be right back.
You're listening to Lifestyle Indy with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
All right, our guest is Amanda Augustine, and she is with Top Resumes. She does career coaching, and you've been doing this for how long, Amanda? Quite a while? 15 years? Because we don't want to go further
15
back.
15 years. That's right. That's my number, and that's what I'm sticking with.
I love it. So, you know, before the break, we talked about, hey, you know, updating your email address and making it professional. What about a mobile phone number? Should that be on the resume?
100%. Yeah. Hands down. Yeah. You don't want a landline anymore, because everything's mobile and everything requires immediacy. That's what everyone thinks these days. And so you definitely want to use your mobile phone number, because it's a number where you have control over what the voicemail says, who's answering those important calls, and when they're being answered. So if you're in a loud, crowded place, you can let it go to voicemail and call them right back when it's quiet, or just find out who it's from.
And plus,
100%.
They can get a hold of you. Yeah.
100. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's important.
And only list one. You do not need to have multiple phone numbers. You do not need multiple. That's a thing of the past.
Good point.
One number that where you know that they can reach you.
Good. So how important is LinkedIn? My son talked me into getting him that upgraded professional version for $300+. But you know what? He got a job. So I'm good with that. He's a senior in college. It helped him get a job. I don't regret that money for a heartbeat. How do you feel about
that? That was an investment.
Yes,
that was
an investment. I agree. The cost of doing business, I say.
100%. I mean, there's a number of reasons to leverage LinkedIn when you're looking for a job, or when you are just trying to advance your career or promote your own business. It's where everybody else is connecting. And really the value behind it is, how many people are you connecting? How big is your network? So I think it's incredibly important to be on there, because we know that the majority of employers admit that they're going to search for your online presence, your online reputation, and they're going to check it out before they decide to interview you. So they're looking to see if what they're reading on paper matches up when they look online. And it's really important for you to have that other piece of marketing collateral, so to speak, as part of your job search. The other thing is, it's a great place to identify other people in your network who may be connected to the company you're interested in, find out about job listings. It's just a place where, again, networking is such a big part of the job search game today. You're 10 times more likely to land the job, 10 times, when your application is accompanied by some sort of referral. You do not get those referrals unless you know where your current network is currently working or has previously worked. So you need, I consider LinkedIn in many ways to be a research tool. If I found a job I want, I then start looking to see who do I know who directly works for that company, or a friend of a friend who currently or previously worked at that company, because that is really important intel.
That makes sense. Makes good sense. So what about other social networks? Are they as important, just as important, not important at all? I'm talking about Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all of those.
From a personal branding perspective, I do not think you need to jump on every single social media platform out there in order to be a savvy job seeker. I think it's ridiculous to assume, especially if that's not your thing, that you're suddenly going to get on all of those and be great at them and maintain all of them, and it's going to get you a job. I think you pick and choose the ones you want to use and that you feel comfortable using. I think LinkedIn is a definite. The others, it's more about what do you do for a living? Do you want to be on it? If you're on Facebook, which I know that's one of the more popular ones, you don't necessarily have to use it to brand yourself. But what you may do is just make sure that the employment information is filled out, that section's there, so that if you have friends looking at your profile and they're not looking at LinkedIn, they know what you're up to and your most recent work experience.
Yeah, interesting.
For all of the social media sites, they're good for research in a lot of ways. Look and see what are these companies posting. It will also give you clues into the company culture to make sure it's a place you'd want to work and you feel comfortable working.
Yeah, you can use it for your benefit.
100%.
Yeah.
It's not just to brand yourself. It's also for you to do detective work and get a better understanding of what are these companies really like and what are the other companies out there that may
like
be
that.
Interesting to you.
Sure. So there's something, you know, I spent many years in broadcasting, and there's something called AP style writing. One of your hints, I'm looking at number 10, it talks about just using one space after each sentence, which is part of AP style writing. Which makes good sense. Why are you wasting all that space doing, you know, you write on the website, say nothing screams over 40 like two spaces after a period.
It's so true. I was brought up with that. That's how I learned.
Sure.
But that's because a typewriter used monospace typing, right? Typesetting. So you needed it. So when you're still using that extra period, it's just a little red flag that says, we know when this person learned how to type. So don't waste the space. You've only got two pages of resume real estate to work with. And also just make sure that you're not giving any signals where they may assume that you're not on the up and up when it comes to technology.
Yeah, savvy. You want to be on it. So Amanda Augustine is our guest. We're talking about age-proofing your resumes and just get it right. One thing you could do is hire Laura. Is that easy to do? How do we do that if we want to?
Oh, sure. You can go to topresume.com and you can start with a free resume evaluation. And I really do suggest everybody check that out. Just go to topresume.com. It's very clear there. You can submit your current resume just to see where you stand today and then decide if you want to pair with one of our writers who will help you through the process. You provide the information, they write it up, and you give your feedback, and it goes through a couple draft rounds.
Love it. Okay, let's chat some more. Each application, you shouldn't have just one resume that goes to every job posting that you see that you're interested in. Shouldn't you customize those? And do we do cover letters these days?
That's a really great question. I'll start with the cover letters.
Okay.
So through the research I've done, and I've polled a lot of recruiters over the years, 50% told me they never look at the cover letter. 50% say it's absolutely necessary. Isn't that helpful?
Yeah, not at all.
So what it comes down to is I would always check out the application, particularly if it makes you upload the resume and fill out information. Look and see if there's a place where you can actually include a cover letter. If there isn't, great, don't spend the time.
Right.
But if it's you're emailing in an application, where it's a little bit more open-ended or they give you a space, I would 100% create the cover letter and customize it as you would a resume, because you never know who you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Unless they specifically say, don't give us a cover letter, you have no idea if they're going to value it and take points off, so to speak, for not submitting one, or if they don't care.
Well, when in doubt, do it. And how long should it be? I mean, two paragraphs? I mean, what? Short and simple.
My rule of thumb is three paragraphs, and I break it into three sections. First is, you know, some sort of calling out of to where I discovered this role, why it's of interest to me, and you're always relating it back to to demonstrate what you've learned about the company through your research. You love their mission because they're starting to work on this technology or doing this in the space. You've been reading about them online and you're impressed with what they're doing. You know, and it doesn't hurt to pad their egos a little bit. Stroke their egos a little bit. You want to demonstrate that you've done some research and really why are you interested? Not because you want to get ahead. They don't care about your wants and needs.
Right. No, they don't.
They want to see how do you fit into their bigger picture. And so mm-hmm. you want to show you care. The middle paragraph is all about this is what you're looking for. This is how I have those qualifications. Dummy proof the cover letter. This is the middle paragraph is by far the most important. It's you said you're looking for someone who has X, Y, and Z. And then in three other sentences or one sentence with mm-hmm. multiple parts, I'm going to explain to you why or how I possess each of those three things.
Goodness gracious.
You want to show them you fit the bill. And then the third paragraph, you're closing it. It's the call to action, just like in marketing. Mm-hmm. You are letting them know that you will follow up with them in X amount of time, which is typically a week from the date of the close date or a week from your submission, if possible. Mm-hmm. And that if they have any questions, to feel free to reach out to you. And so it's just closing, putting the ball back in your own court, mm-hmm. saying that you're going to take a second step. But it's really simple. This should not be a novel. This should not be a regurgitation of your entire resume.
Right.
You want to very quickly, that middle section is, what are you looking for? Let me explain how I meet that. Great.
I love that. Okay.
In terms of customizing your resume, I do not believe in creating radically different resumes for every job application. If they are radically different, it means your job goals are not so much defined. And so that makes it challenging.
Yeah.
You really do want to go into your job search with a particular goal in mind. And it may change over time, but you do want a goal because you're building these marketing materials. They all need to support a goal. If your goal keeps changing, it becomes rather difficult to present yourself as one unified candidate.
Interesting.
What I do recommend is that your resume, it kind of goes through this evolution, that with each job description or job posting that you look at, you make slight tweaks to that resume so that it's speaking directly the language that you're seeing in that job ad. What I recommend doing when you're first starting out and getting your resume ready is find 3 to 5 job descriptions that describe the work that you want to do and you feel that you are qualified to do. Doesn't matter where they are. Forget location. It's does the job describe the role that you're going after? And then take those, and you can either print them out or you can go online and use a free word cloud generator such as Wordle. I have no association with them, but it's one that I use, Wordle.net,
WORDLE.net.
You can just, what you do is you throw all the job descriptions into a field and say, give me a word chart. And it will, or a word cloud, and it will start pulling and making the words that appear most frequently the biggest.
Cool.
If you want to avoid that, just take the job descriptions, print them out, and start highlighting the terms that are routinely popping up in all of these job descriptions. Put a check mark next to the ones that you have. It's mm-hmm. a skill you possess. It's an experience you've done. Make sure that language in that wording, specific wording, ends up in your resume. That's how you make sure that you are customizing it. And also making sure that you're going to get past that electronic mm-hmm. screen, that digital gatekeeper known as the applicant tracking system, because it's all about keywords.
Yeah. I've put my resume through JobScan before, and it's only 43% compatible. You're not going to get a call back.
The only thing I'd say about that, because I do like that tool, is uh-huh. ignore when they get really nuts about the soft skills, because most applicant tracking systems are not going nuts on the soft skills.
Good
so that
know.
Tends to ding your score. And I'm like, take it with a grain of salt. It's mm-hmm. nice, but no, you do not have to say you multitask 7 times in order to be considered a qualified.
Got it. All right. We're talking, our guest for the show for this feature is Amanda Augustine. We're talking resumes, how to age proof them. Let's talk about age discrimination and ageism. It happens. It does. So what have you noticed?
100%. It happens. It's not fair. It's not right.
But you can help yourself.
I truly believe that there are definitely things you can do to help, dodge some of that age discrimination. And I also think it does have, yes, your resume, you want to make sure that you're not sending up any red flags that people are going to question things or assume that you know, that you're going to be overqualified for the role. Overqualification is a real thing. Yeah. It doesn't just automatically mean that they think you're too old. It means that they probably think you're too expensive given their budget.
Right. And you might get bored. Yeah.
Or that you're going to get bored. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for a lot of people who are maybe looking for a job that's a little less responsibility, that's a little, you know, they don't want to work the 60 hours a week anymore. Mm-hmm. They're looking for that job that's perhaps a step down because that's where they are in their career. Mm-hmm. That's when your resume, particularly how you craft that information and your cover letter and how you're leveraging networking are really going to be important, because you want to make sure that message gets out there that, yes, I could take that higher level role, but that's not what I want today.
Right.
And in fact, I'm a bargain. You should be scooping me up because
right?
Again, you're getting a lower rate here, because frankly, I don't want to travel 60% of the time anymore.
Goodness. Well, let's end. We're running out of time, but I thought we would end. You could maybe tell us, what are some of the resume tricks that you've seen that just don't work?
So when it comes to optimizing your resume for particular keywords, I've seen in the past people have actually taken the keywords and put them in white font at the bottom of their resume and just tried to pop it in. Recruiters know you do that and they hate that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Okay. And don't, scented resumes. We don't need that legally blonde.
Oh, God, no
right?
Scented. No. Yeah, the crazy colors. You know, it's very popular right now to do a very untraditional format.
Oh,
frankly,
yeah?
It doesn't work in an applicant tracking system. It's not going to benefit you if it has to go through, if you're submitting an online application. If you want the radically cool, you know, unconventional format, mm-hmm. Save that if you're going to hand it in to somebody face-to-face, but you're still going to have a document that you can submit online, because most applications are online.
They are.
And most organizations are using some sort of technology to parse that information.
Are you a fan of the T format? Have you heard of that? I've been told.
I call it the F or the E format in terms of how information lines up. I would assume T they're saying because most things are centered.
Yes.
Yes, I am I prefer to center most of my information. Okay. You can do an E or F format, which means that literally if you took a step back and looked at the resume and you took a Sharpie, you could draw based on where most of the information is, the letter E or the letter F. Recruiters like that. Recruiters also, through eye tracking studies, we've seen that recruiters tend to go down the resume straight up and down through the center. And so that's why I prefer more of a T format.
Got it.
But again, it's a personal preference.
Right, got it. Well, this has been very informative. Amanda Augustine, if you want to try to reach out to her, one of her colleagues, topresume.com. Thank you so much for your time today. It was really, really interesting.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And this is Lifestyle Indie Radio, and we'll be back next Saturday at 4:30. Thanks for tuning in.